You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
We're getting closer to the end of preseason camp. The Razorbacks will go through another practice on Tuesday afternoon. There aren't a whole lot of practices that are left before Rice preparation. I remember a year ago, Sam Pittman, when he had his first radio show, the first thing he said was that preseason camp is over, and his first radio show is coming up tomorrow night out at the Catfish Hole. Matt Jones, joined today by Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Scotty was at practice yesterday. Scotty, what were some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, I think it was a pretty physical day. And, you know, everybody was out in shells pretty much, so helmets, shoulder pads, and then, you know, just, you know, athletic shorts. But, you know, you go through the fastball start to begin the day, and these guys are knocking heads. And just a couple of days after, you know, your second scrimmage, and I think that's just kind of the MO of this team, you know, that even though it's not a full contact day, there's still plenty of contact, and they're still physical, still getting after each other. And I think one of the wilder things that I saw yesterday was the third team offense going against the third team defense in the fastball start. And John David White wipes out Jackson Woodard with a block, and not full pads. Like I said, they're in shells, but that just kind of gives you an indication of these guys are thinking physicality, physicality, physicality all the time. And, you know, that was kind of what stood out. But, you know, you get physical, you know, when you're not fully padded, you know, sometimes it can lead to some nicks and bruises here and there. And I saw Trey Williams, who I think has been one of the defensive standouts in the camp. He came up a little bit gimpy after a first team rep on the defensive line. And I was watching him, you know, work with, I think it's Demrick Gary. He's one of the defensive line assistant coaches. And Trey Williams is working against the stationary sleds outdoors, and he gets done with his couple reps there, and he's just, you know, he's kind of limping back into the indoor. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. Something else that was good to see was Ricky Stromberg out of his green jersey, his no contact top. He's back in a standard offensive jersey. That's pretty good news. And I posted a clip of Ricky going through a rep during position drills, and he, you know, he looked pretty strong, looked like his foundation was pretty good, plenty explosive. So that was a positive thing to see.
That's the norm for Sam Pittman as far as, you know, physical practices. And I know that Saturday when we talked to him, he said that they would have, you know, heavy workload, physicality, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday they'd get into their Rice preparation. And that, you know, that's also the kind of indication that's when you'll see scout teams, and you really know the depth at that point because you can tell a distinct first and second unit. But the physical nature of what they do and the workload and the toughness that they strive to, you know, it just permeates this team. And I think that's one of the real bright spots of what you look forward to with a Sam Pittman team. And I think that, you know, it goes back to, hey, he's an old offensive line coach, and there's nothing that happens in a practice that's good if it's not physical. I think that's his mindset.
A couple other things real quick. There were a lot of guys in green, no contact tops on Monday. And I think you know, that's kind of to be expected after a pretty physical scrimmage. TJ Hammonds, Traylon Smith, Jalen Catalon, Blake Kern, AJ Green, Ty Clary, Davion Warren. Like the list was pretty long yesterday, but it was good to see Traylon Smith back. And he went through the fastball start, obviously wearing that top, you know, he's not going to get hit, but he did go through the quick start. He caught a couple passes. I think he dropped one too. He was, you know, running. He was running without a limp, but you could tell he wasn't full speed. It's good to see AJ Green out there too. He's got to make up for some lost time. I think he's only been through five or six practices to this point, and he's a guy that, you know, you know, kind of looking to compete for that number three job at running back.
Matthew Bartlett, who covers Rice for attheroost.com, will join us here in just a little bit for a preview of the Owls. Clay, you wrote something on our website a couple of weeks ago that, you know, you basically said, don't overlook Rice. You know, there's so much focus on Texas right now in the preseason that it might be easy to overlook that first game against Rice. I wonder what you think the conversations are in that regard, you know, within the program right now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you're at this point, you've really focused on yourself, and starting on Thursday, they're going to, you know, they will really be deliberate and thorough in the way they digest everything about Rice. And I think it's, a West Coast scheme that they like to throw it. And it's, you know, there's some complexity for what they, you know, what they're going to see offensively. Defensively, same kind of deal. They're going to come at you. They're going to, you know, they're going to blitz. They're going to play that underdog role, that they're going to roll the dice a little bit on their defense. But I think that what you do with any opener, it's as much about you over these next 2 weeks as it is Rice, because it's the details that will get you beat. And when I say that, I'm talking about getting the right players on the field for special teams, making sure that you understand your protections. Block punts are seem to be, you know, the killer for upsets in these early season games where you've got a Power Five team against a non-Power Five. Maybe you haven't been talking about Rice for the last 2 months. I promise you, Rice has been talking about Arkansas. So that's what you have to overcome. But I think you do that by just being real thorough in your details.
It's such an odd feeling going into the season playing these non-conference games, because when you think back to the last time Arkansas played non-conference teams in 2018 and 2019, they did not look good. You had the Western Kentucky and North Texas losses, San Jose State, Colorado State. But then they played an all-SEC schedule last year and they won some games. It's just kind of a really weird feeling getting ready for this season.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the main issue for Arkansas is to make sure that they're physical, that they dominate with their offensive and defensive line. And that's how you overcome this kind of a situation. And take care of business early. Don't give them hope. And it's when you give a team like this hope that now Arkansas, they're a 3-touchdown favorite for a reason. They've got more talent. It's, you know, you hope that, you know, all, you know, you got all your bullets that a Traylon Smith and a Traylon Burks and some of these guys that we've seen, off the field for the last few days, that they're all ready to go, and that you've got those clear players that are more talented than anything Rice has.
Before we get to Matthew Bartlett, Scotty, what are you looking for at practice today?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, you're always looking for in the early part of practice just to see if the offense can get the upper hand against the defense. Because I think most days in that fastball start, it seems like the offense is shaking out the cobwebs to get going. And Clay made I've said this a couple of times since Clay mentioned it, but like those fastball starts are kind of like right before you go play a round of golf and you're on the driving range and you're getting some of the kinks out. Like you don't necessarily want people to see that, but you know, that's how you got to get your day started. You just want to see, like, I think the running backs room is going to be okay as long as Traylon Smith is healthy, but you want to see a guy like him continue to progress and get more toward 100%. And you just want to see, like, when quarterbacks have dumped the ball down or checked the ball down to those running backs, seen the ball hit the ground, you know, maybe a few too many times. And Traylon Smith has been one of those guys that's been guilty of that. You got to catch those passes, and you got to get the ball, and you got to make sure that the ball is secure when it hits your hands. And then maybe those guys are trying to make defenders miss before the ball gets in their hands, and it doesn't really work that way. So want to just see the running backs be a little bit cleaner catching out of the backfield, because a lot of times Arkansas secondary has looked pretty good in those fastball starts. They haven't given up much down the field. So that leads to the quarterbacks checking down. And those are good opportunities to, you know, grow in catching out of the backfield for those tailbacks. I want to see them get a little bit cleaner there. And I kind of want to give a shout out real quick to Devin Bush. I think he's kind of been one of the quiet winners of camp so far. And that's a guy that I feel like a lot of us forgot about maybe last year. It was about the only thing he's done to this point was, you know, that pick six in the spring game, Chad Morris's first year. But I think the first full week of camp, you saw him kind of start climbing into that two deep, and he hasn't gone anywhere. And he broke up a pass yesterday. And Malik Hornsby targeted Kendall Catalan, made a good play. I think he's in line for, I don't know if a lot of snaps, but he could probably see himself on the field for some, you know, meaningful ones sooner or later.
Guys, one of the things that I believe is the emphasis going forward, and we saw it a little bit, at least we heard about it from Saturday's scrimmage. So if you'll go back to the Arkansas-Georgia game last year, and you go back to where Georgia, which is the clear favorite, right? You knew Arkansas was not supposed to beat Georgia, but Arkansas stayed in it in the first half because Georgia made penalty after penalty. They dropped passes. They kept Arkansas in it. And in the second half, they came back and were clean. That's what you have to avoid if you're Arkansas playing Rice. Don't make the penalties that apparently were the problem in the first scrimmage. That you know, the jumping off sides, the holds, those are the things that can even it up. You know, the underdog comes in and plays clean and for a half, and all at once you're at halftime and you think, uh-oh, now we got a game. So I think that's what you're really trying to do. Have referees out there every day. Really watch them. You know, it's like you've got to eliminate those kind of mistakes. And the drops, like you say, in the fastball start, those are killer plays where you've got something set up and then you don't tuck the ball away.
I think it could also be a big, kind of a big few days for that receivers room too. Like with Treylon Burks out or, you know, really limited, and Davion Warren's kind of coming back from a, you know, he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring. It's a really good opportunity for a guy like Kendall Catalan or Jaquelin Crawford to be like, hey, I'm here. I can contribute. Put your best foot forward and see if you can make something happen. And Jaquelin Crawford's a guy that, you know, he's got really good game-breaking speed, I think. I think that was the word on him when he came here. But this kid hasn't played since, I think, September 2019. So it's been a while. And KJ Jefferson said last week, he's, you know, if he, you know, has a drop, and we've questioned his hands before, I think, Clay, in the past, you know, if something negative happens to him, he's got to keep a level head, put it behind him, have short-term memory. But I just think it's a big week for maybe some of those receivers who are maybe on that rotation bubble right now.
I'm joined now by Matthew Bartlett. He is the editor of attheroost.com, does a great job of covering the Rice Owls. Matthew, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's jump into it. As we look forward to this game, September the 4th, what has the training camp been like for Rice? And I wonder, what's the anticipation for Rice getting ready to come up here to Fayetteville? This is a game that it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since they played.
Yeah, even when I was looking up the statistic, I'm like, that can't be right. Because, you know, all the old Southwest Conference days, they just come rushing back to you. But there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of anticipation. 2020 was kind of a year most folks had circled as the year that Mike Bloomberg was going to put all the pieces together, so to speak, and get the program back over the hump. But of course, COVID happened and it was a crazy season, only playing five games. So that anticipation has kind of only grown and rolled over to this coming season, I think.
Yeah, let's talk about last season for a minute, because I don't know that there's a team that was affected more by the COVID protocols that were put in place than Rice. Am I right that seven games were either postponed or canceled?
Yeah, it was wild. They made the decision to delay the season and basically enforced a cancellation of their own non-conference slate to give them the best chance to get through. And then Rice actually didn't initiate a single postponement because of a COVID-19 concern or a positive test, what have you, within their own program. But they then had several games canceled because of positive tests and contact tracing with other programs, and I was actually in the press box waiting when they announced that the UTEP game was canceled. and UTEP had traveled. Their players were in Houston and ready to play, and it got canceled at the last hour. So it was exhausting, honestly, and it was one of those things that just like that soured a lot of the fun from what college football is supposed to be.
Let's talk about Rice as a program for a minute, because from a Conference USA perspective, I think Arkansas fans can maybe relate to what it's been like for the Owls, given, you know, what the last 7-8 years have been like here with the Razorbacks. It's been a downtime. They're in their, fourth year under Mike Bloomgren. The head coach came over as the offensive coordinator from Stanford. Reading through some of the offseason transactions, though, hiring Marcus Tuiasosopo as the offensive coordinator, that certainly got my attention given his background. And then the offseason transfer of Luke McCaffrey, the quarterback from Nebraska by way of Louisville coming in. What have those two things done to change the offense, and maybe how will Rice look different than they did a year ago?
I think those two things were huge, especially with Coach Tui coming in. His background of having been one of the most successful dual threat quarterbacks in college football, really before it was cool, before the spread became all the rage and you know, the mid 2000s or 2010s or wherever we are now. So I think that's huge, and that played a part certainly. And then Mike Bloomgren actually coached Christian McCaffrey while he was at Stanford as the OC, and so that family connection helped get Luke down from Nebraska to Rice. And I think that's kind of hopefully going to be huge, because Rice has felt with their defense, they have one of the better defenses in Conference USA, number 12 in the country last year. They felt like they're a quarterback away for the past 2 years in particular. And the hope now that McCaffrey is on campus, he might be that missing piece.
And there's some other quarterbacks back, right? I mean, Wiley Green has got starting experience. Giovanni Johnson, who's from Conway, he's got some starting experience. Is it just a foregone conclusion that McCaffrey's going to be their starter?
It's not. It's been a two-man battle between Wiley and Luke throughout most of fall camp. And I think for the most part, had Luke not become available, Wiley would have been the starter going into this season, and the staff feels really comfortable with him. It's a complex pro system, and Wiley has now been running it and started games for Rice in each of the last three seasons. So his experience and understanding is something that, you know, most college football programs would love to have a backup as experienced as Wiley Green, but the talent of Luke was too good to pass up. So it's been a battle throughout fall camp. A starter hasn't officially been named yet. But in the end of the day, I think more than likely you go with the guy who can break off a 70-yard touchdown run with his legs.
I wanted to go back to what you just said. You said it's a complex pro system. I was talking to Chuck Poole a week or two ago about, you know, just how would you define this offense? He said it's kind of a spread offense. He said, but there's going to be times where the quarterback gets up under center. How would you describe what we're seeing offensively from the Owls?
It's kind of like a hybrid West Coast system. To some degree, you're going to see fullbacks, which is something definitely not normal in college football today. And they're going to lean on the running game and kind of use that as to establish their identity and work the play action pass and some things off of that. So the scheme is, and from a terminology perspective, it can get kind of complicated, but the gist is they're going to try and run the football a lot and set up the rest of their offense based on that.
Let's talk about the other players on offense for a minute. Jake Bailey, receiver, honorable mention, Conference USA, all conference last year. Am I saying his name right? Is it Bradley Rosner? Is back from 2019?
Yeah, it's Rosner. Yeah, very excited about him.
Just tell us about him and what went on last year to where he missed the season.
So he ended up having an injury right at the beginning of fall camp for Rice that cost him the season. So I guess I don't opt-out injury, whatever you have it. He wasn't available last year, which was really a bummer, especially because by the time Rice played their last game, they had one scholarship wide receiver available to practice, which was wild just because of injuries and everything that happened last year. So having him back in the fold is huge. He's a big play guy who they feel comfortable throwing the ball up to go get the big play. And he's physical enough that, you know, he – is going to be able to hang with some of the bigger corners and safeties that they'll run into this year, especially playing, a couple SEC opponents now with Arkansas and Texas, right? But he's going to be huge, and they're really excited having him back.
Let's move over to the defensive side. You said that's the strength of the team. 10 starters back. Blaze Aldridge is the, you know, the notable exception, transferred to Missouri during the offseason. What does Rice look like defensively, and how big of a gap is that with Aldridge out?
I think it's a bummer not having Blaze Aldridge. He was certainly a guy that you were hoping to have back, but had it not been for the extra year of COVID eligibility, he was a senior and he wasn't going to be back in 2021 to begin with. So losing him, that the staff and the roster was kind of prepared from some point to not have him here. But, you know, obviously that was hard. But Antonio Montero at linebacker, they feel really good about Desmond Baker, who's a JUCO guy like Aldridge, who came in the spring and has kind of been picking things up rather well. One quick correction to Braylon Carroll, who is had the potential to be an all-conference guy in the defensive tackle spot. He's going to miss the season, unfortunately, with an injury. So they'll be at 9 of 11 starters back. But the depth of that front seven, the guys with folks like Akinna Inechukwu, my goodness, that's a hard name. And then Elijah Garcia is another guy. So they have depth. They're going to rotate a lot of guys. I think that's something that might be unique, that you're going to see a lot of different faces when they line up. And I think that's helped build depth to a point where they can withstand the loss of a couple starters and they're not just relying on 11 guys to carry the entire load.
Am I right that defensively Rice last year was a little bit better against the pass than the run?
I think they ended up about roughly the same. 28th scoring, or 28th against the pass, 40th against the rush. So probably within a range of good luck and bad luck. But I would say that traditionally they've probably been a better team against the run. And because of that, it's forced people and other teams to turn to the air and try and attack them that way. They've gotten much better on that respect in the past couple of years. And I think you saw that last year, especially with the 5 interception game against Marshall.
I wanted to ask you what you've seen out of the freshman linebacker DJ Arkansas, because not only is the name ironic, but the Razorbacks were recruiting him, and, you know, Rice won that recruiting battle out of Denton Ryan to get him to come down to Houston. What have you seen from him, and what are the potential for him?
Yeah, I it's been really exciting. It's not often that Rice is beating out SEC teams for anybody, and so the fact that they were able to go and get a guy named Arkansas from Arkansas was a huge recruiting boom for Rice. And so that was a good thing. And then getting him on campus, and really Rice has a trio of freshman linebackers that just looked like they really could be special. And the program, it's interesting, was at a point when Mike Boomin came in, the depth was not there. And in 2018, they played a ton of true freshmen by necessity. I'm not sure. And I don't think you'll probably see DJ Arkansas much against Arkansas in the next couple of weeks because of the depth. But I think he's a guy that, as he, you know, kind of gets the scheme inside internalized and kind of picks up the speed of college ball, I think he's going to be a difference maker, you know, and at the end of the season and down the road.
Last December, Rice went out to Marshall and won 20-0. It was the first time that they'd beaten a ranked team, I think, since Ken Hatfield was the coach there in the late 90s. How big of a win was that? And do you think it's maybe an indication that Rice is turning the corner?
Yeah, I mean, Rice only got to play 5 games last year, and you can, the results of every other game, nobody's going to remember. They're going to remember that one. And I think it's particularly notable because going into that game, Rice was without their starting quarterback. They lost their top 5 wide receivers. They had out their top 8 guys in the secondary. They were playing freshmen and a couple of walk-ons on defense and just kind of scattering it together. They were really beat up. They had a lot of guys out, and they had no business going in and winning that game, let alone winning as emphatically as they did. So I think, you know, culture is a word in college football that everyone gets tired of. But if that win wasn't a proof of the culture that Mike Bloomgren is building at Rice, I don't know what is. To go in so depleted and win so emphatically was massive.
I'll get you out of here with this, Matthew. The last 2 times that a Conference USA team has come to Fayetteville, it has not ended well for the Razorbacks. They got embarrassed by North Texas in 2018 when Mason Fine came in. Of course, North Texas had that the infamous punt return during that game that, you know, really kind of helped you know, set the tone early. And then a couple of years ago in Chad Morris's last game, Western Kentucky came in and won 45-19. Again, a little bit of a revenge factor there with Ty Story, the former Razorback quarterback. This is a different Arkansas team than, you know, than we saw under Chad Morris. I think we saw that last year with how they played the SEC teams. But I wonder, from Bryce's perspective, seeing what other Conference USA teams have done against a lot of these same players, you know, who are going to be lining up against them in the season opener, I wonder what you think that does for them.
Well, I think the commonality between those two CUSA squads that were able to pull that upset is they had dynamic offenses. Especially you talk about Mason Fine at North Texas and what Seth Luttrell and him were able to do. I think that's important. And I think that's what makes the addition of Luke McCaffrey particularly interesting, because Rice is going to have a very, very good defense. And I think you're right in saying that Arkansas, just from last year, is night and day different from how they were 2 years ago. But I think that's what makes it interesting, because Rice has struggled to win on third down in the past couple years, and they haven't had the explosive plays. And that's kind of what stalled the offense out. But you kind of saw a glimpse of that in the Marshall game, is if you have a defense that's playing at that high a level, and you know, granted, it's probably not going to shut out an SEC offense, but if you have a defense playing that high and you get a couple explosive plays, things get interesting. So I think this is a game that, you know, every fan base believes that they're going to go undefeated and go 12-0. And Rice certainly, you know, from a talent perspective, wouldn't be favored in this game. But I think it's one that the players and coaching staff, you know, with the talent they have, think that they'll have a fighting chance, especially if they can come out early and hit a couple of those big plays.
Matthew Bartlett of AtTheRoost.com. Matthew, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to visit our site, WholeHogSports.com, this afternoon for the latest from the Razorbacks football practice. We'll be back with another podcast on Wednesday with a preview of the Texas Longhorns.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.